atheism. As a young boy, approaching my 10th birthday, I believed in God. Now, this wasn't because of any particularly religious upbringing. In fact, some people would say I didn't have an upbringing at all. But it was because people talked about God. So, of course, I assumed that God exists. And just as I'd never been to Cleveland, but people talked about it, I assumed Cleveland existed. Now, of course, Cleveland is a place, and it's seen, I guess, even from the air. Dismal sight, yes, but still you're able to see it. God, on the other hand, I knew was invisible. But I figured, you know, he was probably the one who opened the door at the supermarket. Anyway, that was my position, and I was happy enough with it. But then one day I picked up a book written by an atheist, and the book claimed that there was no God, and in fact that there were plenty of people who were atheists who agreed and were well-educated, etc. And he went on to say that one shouldn't believe in something until you have good reason for it. Now, this made sense to me. I didn't like the guy's tone that much, but still seemed perfectly reasonable that one should have some reason for what one believes. In any event, thinking about it by myself didn't help much, but I had a friend who went to Catholic school, and I assumed being a Catholic, he would believe in God. So one day I cornered him and got him into a discussion and asked him if he believed in God. He said yes. So I said, well, why? And he said, well, don't be silly. There are a million reasons. I said, well, yeah, just how about coming up with one of them? Because I don't know of any. So he went on to say, well, look around you. Look at all this stuff. I mean, we've got mountains, we've got clouds, we've got dirt, we've got buildings, we got all this stuff. Where did it come from? And that kind of threw me. I mean, I didn't know. But he went on to point out that this stuff was all just physical stuff, and that, in fact, there was no reason for it to be here. Where did it come from? And why is there something rather than nothing? And when he said that, it shook me, because I thought, yeah, that's right. Where did everything come from? I mean, it does seem quite baffling that there should be anything. I mean, if you start with nothing, you got nothing. So where did everything come from? So I thought, I actually experienced a certain amount of vertigo connected with this, and I didn't really have an answer. So anyway, I asked him if he had any ideas, and he said, yes, of course, God created it all. And I said, right, okay, who created God? And he said, well, come on, God is a necessarily existing being. These things around you are all contingent, and God is non-contingent. He exists for all eternity by necessity. All right, well, okay, fine. In any event, this conversation quickly wound down, but even though I was impressed with the first part of the argument, I didn't see how God helped, because it seemed to me he was simply confusing himself with words. I mean, what is a non-contingent or a necessarily existing being? And couldn't there be any number of such things? Now, I did concede one small point, and that was that, well, maybe the cause of everything, or the, for whatever reason, there is something, it might be more like consciousness, or more like an agent, or more like having a personality or intelligence. Could be that way. In fact, that seemed like it might possibly be even slightly more plausible or slightly more likely than simply matter existing by itself. But actually, I shouldn't be saying more likely. I should be less unlikely and only slightly less unlikely. To me, the whole thing still remained a complete mystery, and I didn't think the God explanation really did all that much good. Anyway, that's where things stood for a while. And anyway, I really didn't go into it too much, but I was kind of concerned. So finally, one day, I was passing a church, a Presbyterian church, and I wandered inside, and I found one of the ministers. And I figured, well, here's a guy who should know. So I asked him the question of, did he believe in God? Well, of course I believe in God. Everybody believes in God. And I said, well, no, it seems like there are at least a couple of people, myself and the author of that book, who don't. And I'm not saying there is no God. I just don't know and would like to find out. Well, do you have any kind of evidence or reason for believing? And he says, well, there are many reasons, but I would suggest you start with the Bible. Read the Gospels. There you'll find out about God, and that will show you that God exists. So, okay, what the heck? I grabbed myself a Bible out of the library and started with one of the Gospels. I can't even remember which one now, but in any event, it started at the beginning, you know, more or less, and this angel coming to have a word with Mary and telling her that she was going to have a child, but without the usual preliminaries. This was actually going to be God's child that's going to be here. You know, and right there, I'm wondering a little bit. I mean, at the very least, I would have loved to have been present while she was explaining this all to Joseph. But anyway, okay, fine. So they have the infant, and they're in a manger, which I gathered is sort of around or near a barn out in the country, kind of. And here's this child, and they've got angels floating around all over the place here. Once again, I wondered why, and they made a special mission to go tell some shepherds about this. I don't know, you know, how they decided who to tell and who not to tell, but the shepherds are impressed and they huddle on. And then the other thing that seemed even a little more off the wall was the wise men that were coming along carting a bunch of frankincense and myrrh. And here they are traipsing over towards Bethlehem, I guess. And they knew where to go because, as the Bible said explicitly, they are following a star. Now, that brought me up short because I've always had a bit of an interest in astronomy. And I knew what a star was. I mean, the casual treatment they gave it made it seem to me like they might not even know what a star was. But I know it's this immense, and I do mean immense. I mean, the Earth is plenty big, and a star would probably be close to a million times the size of the Earth. And it's also hot, surface temperature about 10,000 degrees, internal temperature close to a million degrees. And of course, that's without the wind chill factor, but still, you got to wonder, a star? And I also knew these things are millions, no, not millions, billions and billions of miles away. So the whole thing of getting a star to somehow guide the the wise men to where they were going, I mean, it seems like this would be a logistical nightmare. I mean, you know, wouldn't it have been easier to just give them a map? I mean, come on. So anyway, I'm really not buying this story, and I have to admit, I pretty much gave up about there and thought that I wasn't going to get any real solid evidence one way or the other. Well, I might have some evidence about some people who seem to believe this is the literal truth, but aside from that, no. Anyway, so that's where things sat for a while. But then one day I'm eating lunch and the radio was on and some guy comes on and he starts talking about how God exists and how we can know that God exists. And he starts in by proposing this argument, which I would later learn was the teleological argument, sort of a variation on Paley's watch argument, but basically talked about how animals and humans, for that matter, but mostly he talked about animals who seem to have exactly what they need to live. I mean, they got the eyes, where did that come from? And they've got, sense of smell and fur to keep them warm and all this. And how did that just happen? It must have been designed. And frankly, I thought, that is a knockdown argument. That is really good. I mean, this is not just some random stuff floating around. This has got to have been somebody behind that. Looks like a fixed deal to me. And anyway, thinking that, I became a theist. And I remained a theist for a good 20 minutes. And then I started wondering, okay, that's a really good argument, and I think it's very powerful. But on the other hand, I know there are atheists around and that many of them, have read a book or two. And so I'm wondering, they must, I would guess, have some kind of answer to this argument. I mean, surely they've heard it or some version of it. What was the answer they had? And I thought, until I knew how they would answer this question, what their defense of their view would be in the teeth of this seemingly overwhelming argument, I really better hang tough and wait to find out how they would answer this. Anyway, so fine. I go along probably for maybe a good year or so. And I'm in the library one day, and I pick up a book. It's called The Riddle of the Universe. It's a book written by a guy named Ernst Haeckel, and he's German. And this is a translation, and it was written probably around the turn of the 20th century, the late 19th century. And I quickly figured out that he knew about this argument. In fact, he spends a lot of time making the argument from design, actually probably more thoroughly than the guy I'd heard on the radio. And I also knew that he was planning to dismantle it. And that's basically what happened. I mean, he pretty much outlined Darwin's theory of evolution and how this seeming design came about because the creatures who didn't have the right stuff were eliminated, and the ones who did have the right stuff continued on. The fittest survived, I think, was one of the terms he used, and the rest were gone, and pretty soon the various creatures, the various organisms, got more and more sophisticated, and therefore that's where the design comes from. And not only did he have this plausible-sounding scenario, but he also, it's a thick book, and he went on to produce certain kinds of evidence that I found pretty convincing, the way animals are spread about the environment. I mean, you find closely related species next to each other, and then there's the stuff with the fossils, and on. Anyhow, whole book devoted to it. Sounded pretty persuasive, and in the end, I found not only did it seem to cancel out the teleological argument, or at least a reply to it, but in its own way was almost an argument for the non-existence of God. Anyway, that's where things were at the time. Okay, end of.